I thought, you know, having an excuse to get out of work because like I have to help my mom would be easy, but like I have to get up earlier to take her to more stuff than I ever did to do at work. So it's just been, you know, it's been more, I mean, again, totally worth it. Obviously I was gonna do it, but like it's not the respite I thought it would be from work. How
Yeah,
about you,
retired
Steve?
people get up early.
How
They do stuff early.
I don't get that. Why is like I really hope I like when I retire, I want to sleep. I don't get it.
No, they
No,
don't like you.
you
Yeah,
won't want to sleep because you know that death
death
is
is around
imminent. And so you want to
the
delay that as much as possible so you get up
corner.
early.
You, or at least you want to meet in the morning early enough that you can get your coffee in first and then die.
As long as I die with coffee, I'm fine. Good Lord. Steve, how are you doing this fine
Good.
evening?
It's Liberation Day because Disney's about to get liberated, the Punisher movie, from its servers to my home server, hopefully, in the
Oh,
next
very
24
nice.
hours.
I really hope it's good. I'm
Me
so
too.
nervous.
Me too.
I love Jon Bernthal, so I think he can do it, but like and I have to say, I did enjoy Daredevil this season. It was a lot better than I thought it would be, but Marvel is really like a peaks and valleys recently,
Sure,
hasn't it been?
sure. So if Shocker or Kingpin makes it to New Jersey, they're safe. Daredevil only
I
patrols
crossed
like 10 blocks.
the They intentionally set it in 2012 so
Timberlake
Chris Christie's still governor. He's like shutting the bridge down.
mail.
He's like, "You'll never
I'll
touch
carry
these
this down here.
citizens or my donuts or my beach chair."
Oh my God. I wonder what happened to Chris Christie. He was like trying, he was going to be like president for like a second and
He
then
still
disappeared.
pops up from time to time on my social
Where'd you get him?
media.
He got hit
What's he
by Bruce
doing?
Bate.
He's like a talking head on like CNN or ABC or something. He's like the now anti-Trump, former Trumper. I did see, and I don't want to give him any kind of credit for anything. I will say he's an intelligent person who had some degree of career success as a AUSA or USA in New Jersey before he became governor. And the reason he fell out with the Trumps is because he's the one who put Jared Kushner's father in jail. So credit where that's due. But he was telling this story about like he said during the first Trump campaign in 2016 that he basically was like the opposition person for like Trump's debate prep. And so he had to be Hillary Clinton, which is like a real interesting choice on their part. So I've heard some interesting stuff from him. He doesn't seem as dumb or stupid or damaging as he used to be. He's out of power at least.
That's very fair. I think a lot of these people would be a lot like better in, you know, non damaging roles where they don't have the power to do anything.
Yeah, like in a casket 6 feet below the ground.
Yeah, no, that's you know ultimately what I was getting at. But yeah, no. And I don't know how Trump keeps holding on. It's enraging. Like every time there's a new symptom of him like close to death, and I'm like, just fucking
The
happen.
long game.
I'm still not completely convinced that they're not just like doing some form of like Weekend at
The
Bernie's necromancy, some version of that. Like the
I
reason he
wouldn't
has Cash
support
Patel around is he's eventually going to harvest his eyes, you know, because they're just going to pop out of his skull
it.
anyway.
Cash.
Dude, what happened to that man? Like, is he like even still the head of the FBI at this point?
Does he
I think
know?
he doesn't. I don't think he believes he's the FBI at this point. He apparently
No,
like,
I don't think
oh,
it's
thinks he's the
possible.
captain of USA Hockey,
Ever
even though he can't ice
since
skate.
Oh man, Sean, how was the move? It's been a couple weeks. How you been?
Good, busy, still
Awesome.
unpacking and organizing and integrating, but good.
Yeah,
Yeah,
but settling in finally.
settling in. Perhaps next week the office will be together enough for you to actually see it on camera, but
I am
it's
excited.
getting there. It's getting there. I unleashed my inner obsessive compulsive Capricorn organization traits last night and stayed up probably about 5 a.m. hanging shelves and getting stuff at least off the floor so we can move around in here.
Hey, as long as it was.
Yeah. Amazing. We're also fighting with 6 cats currently.
Oh, right. Yeah. How are the cats integrating?
We're working on it. See, Felix seems to be the one that's actually stirring the pot. He's the one that hisses when he's seen the other ones from a distance. Really? So, yeah.
He seems like really chill when he's on camera.
He thinks he's boss, I think. Ah. Doesn't realize that he's neither the oldest nor the largest cat here. So
he's about to find out the hard way.
I don't think the hard way, but I think he needs a little humility.
Fair enough. Well, I guess let's get right to it. Has anyone watched any or seen anything TV movie related in the last couple of weeks? Let's catch up where everyone's been.
Well, did you guys get to talking about Maul? Have you guys finished Maul?
I have finished Maul.
I'm like a few episodes away from finishing it. I got sucked into another show. But I will finish it.
We'll just wait till you go to bed, and then Matt and I will fanboy over Dave Filoni and his brilliance.
100%. We could talk about that all day, and I'm happy to do that at the post show. So that sounds wonderful. Given Steve's limited time frame, however. Yes.
Oh.
I mean, he's going to the doctor, right? That's the first sign.
Yeah, I gotta go to the office early tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But that being said, with your limited time frame, let's get right to it so Steve can enjoy as much of this episode as possible, and we'll do most of the heavy lifting afterwards, John.
Yeah.
What do you got for us, by the way? What are we watching tonight?
Okay, so I actually brought the show up probably a few weeks ago, maybe last time I was on.
Yes.
But we're gonna watch Friends and Neighbors with my boy Juan Jamon.
Nice. I heard good things.
From me, probably. I have
been very excited to watch the show.
and others.
It's got a really catchy theme song too, and that's probably gonna get stuck in my head.
That's fantastic. Okay, tell us about the show. So
we kind of stumbled into it. I didn't even realize that he had a show on Apple TV. It's now in its second season. And so I guess they were ramping up the promotions for season two when I don't even remember what we had. Maybe it was Shrinking. It was something else that had ended recently on Apple TV.
Yeah.
And I saw like the thing that came up for it. And so we were like, all right, let's throw in an episode, give it a try. And you saw it. Sorry, yes. I'm getting some commentary.
Oh, no.
We saw it. I suggested it, though. She's shaking her head vehemently. We have a belly-to-belly desk situation. She's just leaning over and just shaking her head at me. Anyways. Fine. She gets credit, but her name is not spoken on the podcast, so she didn't really get credit. So I'll take it for her. It was mine.
Okay, that's fair. Whoever has their names will be the ones. Yes, I agree.
It starts with the sound. Anyways. yeah. So we kind of stumbled into it, put it on, and it was really catchy. And it's an interesting concept. Mad Men, he's so depressed and like all sorts of messed up. This is a very different John Hamm character. So you get to see his range a little bit, but it's also, I mean, it's funny, but it's interesting. It's also just amusing to like kind of get a little snapshot of these people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give away too much about what's in it, but I will say it's, I don't know. How many days did we binge it in? Like two?
Yeah.
Yeah. Season one, we binged in like 2 days. And then we rolled into season two. Really? I think we're now a couple episodes behind because of the move. So we got to catch up on that. But
that's pretty damn impressive. So that good. And I love this John Hamm, Amanda Peet, and Olivia Munn are all people I love. So
yeah, Amanda Peet showing up was I didn't expect her, and she's great in the show. Olivia Munn, I think, does a really good job too. I think she does a good job of not, well, I won't say, I'll comment more on it afterwards. I think they're all doing really well.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Steve, what are your expectations about this? I mean, I know you haven't seen it. We kind of touched on a little bit last week of like seeing John Hamm in a more, you know, comedic role. What are your thoughts?
I like John Hamm. I thought he was really good in Landman. And
yes. Oh my God. That's a deep cut.
And
season 5 of Fargo. Was it season 5 or 4?
I don't know. I don't have any like set expectations. I'm really just kind of going this with a fresh
yeah, POV. Fair enough. Well, I'm definitely excited for this. We're watching the first episode, right?
Yeah, you kind of have to.
Okay. Very good, very good, very good. Anything else we should know?
I wouldn't call it a comedy. I mean, it's definitely got its funny moments. Oh, really? It's definitely not a straight up comedy.
Okay. So is it more in akin to like, you know, how they keep calling the bear a comedy?
Okay. So it doesn't get that damaging.
Okay. Well, that's good.
It's not that emotionally affecting. The bear is a comedy because people are confused about what that word means. I would say it's a different vibe than that entirely. These are about like very affluent people in I believe Long Island or Westchester County, something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's a different vibe, a different group of people, but
fair enough. All right, without further ado, season 1, episode 1 of Your Friends and Neighbors, This Is What Happens. All right. That was a good transition this time. Timed that one perfectly.
It only took you 3 years to get the soundboard back up and running.
I'm leaving that line in. That's fantastic. Yeah. You know, well, first of all, Steve had to adjourn for the evening, but he already voted a binge, so we'll just get that out of the way in the beginning. I love these kind of shows. However, mm-hmm. there is something to be said. Like, there is something visceral inside me that reacts very poorly to the only, like, it's to any show structure. And there's a, you know, like, I get it. It's a good formula and it's very easy to watch, but like where one guy is acting completely rationally and doing everything right and everyone around him is just fucking him over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well, of course you don't get to live in your house after your wife fucked your best friend, or of course you know, like, don't get any, like, you are the one who suffers everything. Mm-hmm. And like, he has very valid rational reactions to this and everyone around him. I really hope that's not what, like, it's like in reality. I don't know. I've never been in that situation, but like that, you know, I'm not saying that takes away any enjoyment, but it's something I've noticed that like, I just get like this uncontrollable hatred for everyone when that kind of thing happens. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know what that is. I wish
like,
I could say.
Like, you're siding with John Hamm's character with Coop, or you're...
Yeah, with Coop. 100% yeah. With Coop.
Yeah.
And Allie, who was watching the show in the background, pretending not to be interested, totally is on the same page. Like,
yeah.
When I think when a wife fucks your best friend, she loses any right to say what, you know, well, you are somewhat responsible for this. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah.
I feel like,
try not to color this with my own perception of all the episodes that I've watched. I think that you're made to feel that way. Right. Like after the first episode, like you should be feeling that way.
That's fair.
But it also feels like somebody, I don't know, not terribly unlike Don Draper at points in Mad Men, who's lost so much lost control of his own life.
Yeah.
And identity, that he doesn't, like, when he loses all the things that previously defined him, he doesn't know who he is when all of it's gone.
I think that is 100% true, and I absolutely am intrigued to watch more, and will probably watch more when we're done. But I am very interested to see how it goes, because obviously, you know, they're Tarantino-ing the ending a little bit, right? We're not going to get that moment till the end of the season, I'm guessing.
No. I won't tell you.
Oh yeah, no, you can.
It happens probably in about two or three episodes.
Okay.
And I think it's a 10 episode first season.
And so that means they pay it off. Okay, that's
oh yeah, they pay it. So the first season, I think, could have been a closed story. Like, if it had lasted 1 year, but one season, they would have told a good story and it would have been over and done.
Yeah.
And actually, I remember, like, when we got to the end of the season one, I was like, where does this go? Like,
yeah.
But I'm compelled by season two, and James Marsden's in the cast now too, so he's fun.
Okay, so James Marsden's got good chemistry
with John Hamm, so all for that.
I love James Marsden, so like I'm happy to see that. But he's only in season two.
Yeah, he's only in season two. Okay. He's a new character that comes on for the beginning of season two.
And like an arms dealer or something? Like, I only saw like the trailer that started, you know, when I opened my Apple TV, and it's like, you know, like automatically plays. So I know, like, I've heard that he's an arms dealer or something.
He's not doing very above board things. I'll put it that way.
Okay. All right. But, fair enough.
That's the thing. It's like Coop is actually like stealing, right? Like he's burglarizing people's houses, but like, there are a lot of other different kinds of crooks in the show. It's not just him.
I totally understand. And like, you know, and I think this show does a really good job. And I kind of, you know, when I was describing my visceral hatred for everyone around Coop at the beginning, I think that it's related to like how, you know, relatable this character, like you feel he's justified in doing this, right? Like, yeah, he's committing crime. He's, you know, and it probably, I don't know how much that watch is, but what, probably $100,000 easy, right?
So he's more than that. Yeah, it's a lot of money.
And grand larceny at the, but
it grand larceny.
But it doesn't feel like it almost doesn't feel like a crime, right?
Yeah. Well, it feels like the way that because it's his first person narration, like,
yeah.
He's giving you like the most reasonable pitch for as to why this is not it's a victimless crime, right? Like these people are insured, like they're already wealthy, they're never gonna miss this watch, like all that stuff. Yeah.
He's gonna open that watch, be like, huh, I wonder where this one is, and then put on another one.
Yeah. If he notices at all.
That's true. Yeah, if he notices at all. So yeah, I don't know. It's very compelling, and I, you know, from the first moment I was in.
I actually forgot that that's how the first season opened. I forgot that it starts with like a little bit of a flash forward, and then it cuts back.
I mean, hell, I don't know how Apple TV and streaming works now, right? With pitch pilots and pilots and scripts and all that stuff and like order for seasons. But that's a hell of a hook. Like, it used to be you had to hook them in that pilot so they would let you make more.
Yeah.
And that's a hell of a fucking hook. Like, I'm in. I'm all in on this. But I actually wonder, like, when you have John Hamm, when you have the star power that's in this show, do they pick it up on that alone? Is there anything that's, you know, I wonder.
I mean, it definitely helps, I'm sure. You know, I don't know. I think that, because again, like, I cancel Apple TV every other month, it feels like.
Fair.
Because, like, I have something on that I watch, and then it ends, and I'm like, all right, well, it's not like they have a back catalog of stuff that I'm going to go back and either watch for the first time or rewatch if I already haven't watched it, so. It was just kind of one of those things where I just didn't know about it. And, we were actually talking during the episode, and I will very humbly admit that it was not my idea. I'm getting a very smug look across the desk, but I hope she understands. It wasn't smug. Okay.
It wasn't smug. Okay.
It wasn't smug.
That's reassuring.
Yeah. It is reassuring. but I don't even remember what I was saying now. Oh. Yeah, I don't remember what I was saying.
Okay.
It's fair enough. Whatever. It was a good pick by her. Did a wonderful job.
It's a very wonderful job. I love it.
And it's a very good show. Yeah, and I think they like one of the other things I really like about it, and you don't get as much of it in the first episode, but like as you go along, they really spend a lot of time with the rest of the cast. And you really get to know all the characters. You get to have like these like relationships develop. You'd have these characters kind of more fleshed out, both like his ex-wife, his ex-best friend, the kids, their friends, like all the people in their community. And it feels like a very in like the affluent version of, in not literal definition of the word, incestuous. Like it's a very incestuous community. They're all up in each other's everything. And again, it's like these are people that you know super well. So it's like, well, I know I can get away with this, or I know that, you know, whatever. It's not hurting anybody technically.
I'm actually really intrigued by all of the like, because there's a lot of threads, and I'm very interested to see how they could manage to balance all of that, because they open so many subplots, right? You have the daughter and his boyfriend or her boyfriend's that relationship. You have the son who we kind of saw like for a minute. You have the sister who obviously has something going on, right? And still plays Radiohead really fucking well.
I think on the spectrum of like bipolar into perhaps schizophrenia, you know, somewhere in there.
Yeah. But like so many different things that in 10 episodes, that's a lot to cover.
And they do it really well, which is the kicker. Okay. Like, and they all get like a ton of time. Yeah, I'm trying to think of like who else other than John Hamm. Like, his sister, like she's great. Like, she turns into a really interesting character. I don't think it's spoiling too much to say that the actor playing John Hamm and his sister's dad is Danny Noonan from Caddyshack.
Oh, amazing! Okay,
yeah, I forget his name. I think it's he was on Roseanne too. I'm sure.
Like, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. But it's got a really deep cast, but they get a lot of time. His friend Barney, the bald Asian guy with the goatee, great.
Yeah, love him.
He's phenomenal. I really like him, and he's got an interesting dynamic with his wife and his in-laws, which you get to see fleshed out. Like, there's a lot to it.
That's insane. I think, you know, and it's something that Mad Men did really well too. Do we know, is the person who put this show together, is they are the showrunner, are they a well-known?
I don't even know. I don't even know if I really looked into it. I didn't give myself a moment to think about it.
Because, like, I'm seeing a lot of, you know, the parallels. And because we talked about this when you brought Mad Men at this point years ago.
And it's amazing. It was, like, one of my first shows, I think.
Yeah. And, like, characters are so much more important than the setting you put them in. Because, theoretically, you know, anything set, like, It's kind of mundane, right? You're sitting in the suburbs of a rich, you know, of like upper
suburbs of New York. Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah. And like it's all about the characters. You can put a good character in any situation and it's compelling. And that's what Mad Men did so freaking well. You were compelled and so like entranced by, you know, Madison advertising in the 60s. And it was just something you couldn't take your eyes off of, because the characters were so good and you got fleshed out depth to all of them. And I think that's missing in a lot. Like I think we've talked about this before, especially in regards to The Simpsons. Writers nowadays, and I think The Simpsons is the only example I have like off the top of my head, because it spans generations, right? You had the people when you were starting, when Groening was still on the show, when Conan was still writing for the show. Yeah. Like
Schwarzwalder.
The Schwarzwalder, yeah. And the show had depth and the characters weren't one dimensional.
Right.
Right? Homer was an alcoholic who said dough and ate donuts, but he was also like
Walter Matthau.
And had, but loved his family, would do anything for them, and had depth of character. Mm-hmm. If you look at a recent version of Homer Simpson, he's just dough idiot guy.
Right, he became the caricature of himself.
Exactly. Yeah. And you could say the same thing about Bart, who's just, I hate Homer, you know, cowabunga. And Lisa, who's just, I'm smart.
But he hasn't said cowabunga in years.
Okay. I'm showing my age. I'm sorry. But
No, that's a very meta. That's a Bart was complaining to Marge. I'm trying to remember what episode this is from.
Oh.
Man, this is like crazy back in the recesses of my memory. He was complaining about somebody ripping him off. Oh, it was Milhouse, I think. And it maybe was Lisa or something, but he was complaining about Milhouse saying cowabunga. No, Lisa. This is Summer 4 Foot 2. I remember the episode. This is Summer 4 Foot 2. Lisa says cowabunga. And then eat my shorts and like a bunch of other Bart Simpson catchphrases. And Bart overhears it. And he's like, I'm going to go like break this thing up. And Marge was like, no, you haven't even said cowabunga in years. Like, and that was in like 1996 or 5.
Yeah, fair enough. Comment, Ellie?
I'm just like, that's so I did not realize that year that he had already had not been saying cowabunga in 96.
Yep. Yep. I'm old.
What did she say?
Allie was just shocked that it had been, like, based on her age and based on what year she was born, she was shocked that in 1996, Bart was already being told he doesn't say cowabunga anymore.
So the trippy thing for me, and I've had this conversation with Max several times, because he does like watching The Simpsons, but I've clearly done something right raising him, because he's like, I hard stop at season 14. I can't. That's probably further than I went, honestly. But like, he's like, he basically just rewatches like the sweet spot of like season 3 to like season 10, 11, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And he was like, this show's been on so long. And I'm like, yeah. When I started watching, I was Bart's age, and now I'm Homer's age. And it's still on.
That's such a trip to think about.
Yeah.
Come on. All right, we got very far removed from Friends and Neighbors, but all of that to say, it's 100% a binge worthy for me. And Steve already voted, so that's unanimous. I don't think there was ever any doubt. What brought you to this? Is after the recommendation, what got you hooked? What was your like? Okay, I need to see where this goes. Moment.
I won't say it's as immediately sharp of a hook as the end of the Mad Men pilot, within the reveal of like, oh, like what you thought was his life isn't actually his life, and he's got a family, but you don't even know the half of it because he's got this whole other life. But I think that it was just like, I wanted to know, because it's very clear that like a switch has like gone off in his head, where it's like, all right, like, I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to go get my 6 months of severance. I'm not going to go do that. I'm going to go do this stuff for a while and see where it takes me. And it's interesting, because it's like, okay, well, what would compel like someone who's clearly lived like a pretty privileged lifestyle, who's had everything and then had it like taken from him, but like not in like the, you know, like Walter White sense of the word, where he's like lost out on, you know, millions, if not billions of dollars because of his screwed out of a company and became a chem teacher and all that and the cancer. It's not that. It's like, no, like this guy just keeps getting fucked over by literally everybody around him. And what's to say when he just says, you know what, fuck it, I don't care anymore. I'm just going to go out and see where this leads me. And when you start to sense that he's maybe feeling a bit of joy from it,
yeah,
that's where I think I got hooked, because I'm like, where is he going to go with it? Like, how far does he go with this?
Yeah, because I will say, and it's interesting you bring up the comparison to Breaking Bad, because I kind of have those same vibes, right? You're just, you side with Walt so much in the beginning. right? Mm-hmm. Because everyone in his life seems to be fucking him over, or everything in his life seems to be fucking it over. I think this show doesn't the same way, but it took Walter White years. Like, and it doesn't, it's not until literally the finale that he admits he likes it, because you could make the claim or justify that he is still in his head rationalizing that he's doing it for his family up until the very end. Whether mm-hmm. that's misguided or not, you could make that argument. And it isn't until the last episode that he can be honest with himself
finally.
Exactly. And it seems like this right off the bat, you know, is, yeah, I'm doing this for myself. So it's kind of an interesting take on all of that, you know?
And there's also, like, and I hadn't really thought about this way until we were just sitting here talking about it, but, like, there's kind of, like, a little bit of, like, a Robin Hood aspect to it. Like, he's not, like, giving it away, yeah. right? Like, it's just for his own benefit. But, like, this whole notion of, like, you greedy people have everything and you took everything, and so let's, like, even the playing field a little bit.
Yeah. I think that's compelling. Those same, yeah, it's those same greedy people who, like, not him specifically, mm-hmm. but those same greedy people took everything from him, right? So this seems like, well, this is only fair.
Right. It's like the friend that was talking to him by the pool before he ends up stealing his watch. Like, that whole conversation, you know, you're listening to this and you kind of just want him to just, like, punch the guy in the face and throw him in the pool or something, because he's just clearly, like, an asshole and not a good friend or supportive person. Even, like, then the shit that his wife says about, like, oh, like, you know, when, like, we get divorced, like, I hope it's as, like, amicable, and, like, that whole thing. It's like, you understand, like, why he would in that moment at least be driven to, like, do something out of, like, you know what, fuck you, like, I'm gonna go get mine because you've clearly yeah. taken yours and I'm not gonna deal with it anymore.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to, if they can keep this up, do you know if they got a season 3?
I don't know if they got a season 3 or not. I have to imagine they will, just given, I mean, if they want to do it.
That's totally fair.
You know, I don't know where season 2 is going to land. I hope James Marsden sticks around, because I just enjoy him. And when you get up to that point, I think you will too. He's like so likably unlikable.
I love that, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the exact opposite of his character in Westworld, which is funny. It's like, you want to like him, but he's just like, I know, poor Teddy. But that's kind of the point, right? He's just like so likable. You're just like, oh, come on, dude.
He was literally created just to die over and over again. Like, if that's not the sum of like most of his roles too, like that's.
Yeah. Man. Oh, poor James Marsden. I love him to death. He'll always be Cyclops to me.
always be James Marsden from Jury Duty to me ever since.
Okay, that's totally fair.
Ever since James first show I ever binged with Not So New Girl.
That's amazing. Yeah, and I still have to watch the new one because I'm really intrigued.
It's
that.
Fun, and they do it? A little okay. reunion after.
Oh, that's
and like in the reunion, it's like the two Jury Duty protagonists, and then they like James Marsden shows up too. It's cool.
That's fantastic. Oh, I'm so excited. Okay,
cool. Yeah.
Amazing. All right. Well, it's easily a binge. Before we end this episode, I would be remiss if we did not talk about Maul. Unless, I mean, if you have stuff, I know it's getting late, but if you want to talk about Maul a little bit now, we can finish it up next week. I am totally down for that. Yeah, Filoni, like, holy crap. Why can't we get this all the time? I hope this is like the turning point for Star Wars, because I freaking loved it.
I'm going to cut you off just with one more thing about Friends and Neighbors, and then
okay,
we'll continue
sorry,
with Maul, because I do want to talk about it. But I had not been checking my text, and somebody just told me to check my text, and she raised some very interesting points. I'll just read what she said.
Please, let's do it.
She said, it's also nice to see a protagonist that has his character flaws, but yet is steadfast as a non-misogynist. That's a huge one. even though he might have every reason to be, given the way all the bullshit in his life played out. And then that's she adds, really season 3 is confirmed for April 2027, which is a normal release schedule, finally, for a show, and it's not taking 4 years off.
We are finally getting. We're getting Pitt season 3 in January.
Oh, and Michelle Moynihan from many things, including the season 3 of White Lotus, is joining.
Oh, sick!
And also,
okay, cool.
Tom Brady's first baby mama. You didn't know that one, did you?
Oh, Mayan.
He connected her. Sorry, that was a Mickey comment, and he's not coming out tonight.
Yeah, that's totally fine. But all yeah, right. I think it is. It is very interesting to see. He has every right to be angry at everyone, but he doesn't seem that like he's very short with his wife, but like in a very like sarcastic. Gee, I wonder why I don't want to hang out with you guys.
Yeah. Also, like, it's very clear that they like not to set aside the comment that the friend made at the pool, but like it is clear to an extent that they have a on some level a functional relationship. Still,
yes, they have to raise kids.
Like, and they don't like pure straight hate each other, and they can't talk. Like, it's clear that they care for one another, and that there's something where it's not just like straight animosity all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is actually an interesting comparison that you'll see a little later in this season. I won't give that away. But
okay, cool. I really hope Olivia Munn's character comes back too. I love her.
She is going to be a big factor.
Good. Yeah. I freaking love her. And why would you never try to make something last with her? Holy shit.
You'll find out why.
Okay. But I've had a crush on her since goddamn, like, Psylocke. And probably before that. That was just the icing on the cake.
Was she on Mr. Show?
Yeah, she was on Mr. Show.
Mixing up my Olivias. Was that Olivia Wilde?
I don't think... Let me make sure. I need to double check now.
I sometimes mix them up. Because I feel like there aren't many famous Olivias currently. No shots to Olivia Newton-John.
No, that's fair. Apparently, Olivia Munn was not on Mr. Show. I could have sworn.
Was that Olivia Wilde?
That's a really good show. Let me see. Mr. Show. God, I haven't seen Mr. Show in so long. I got to rewatch that now. There were so many people on this goddamn show. It's hard to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Posehn, Paul F. Tompkins. Stephanopoulos. Sarah Silverman got her start here. Yeah. I don't see Olivia Wilde on the guest list, but that doesn't mean
or on the tech guest. Well, maybe I'm just like imagining things. Anyways, yeah. She'll be a big factor in the season. So don't worry about seeing her again because you're going to see plenty of her.
Good. That's fantastic. Love her. Now I hope they bring back Newsroom, but that's another story.
good luck on that one.
Yeah, I know. Okay, yeah, Mall. Are we good? Do you have anything else you want to talk about? Because I'm happy to keep talking about friends and neighbors.
I'm good.
Okay, good. Yeah, this is a turning point. I'm still a little worried about Mandalorian and Grogu.
I'm worried that I don't know if I really want to see it.
I know.
And that's not good.
I know.
But that might also just be like season 3 hangover plus like, I don't know. I hate the title of it.
I do
even
too.
If it's accurate.
I also think there's something to be said for the fact that it got too big too quick.
Yeah.
Like I think it was supposed to be a side story. It was supposed to have nothing to do with main Star Wars canon.
Right.
It was supposed to be this little like, you know, like the Western to the Jedi samurai, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because it got so popular, whether it was because quote unquote Baby Yoda at the time or whatever it was, they just kind of made it into this big thing and Disney capitalized. And I'm really, really worried that it you know, lost its soul, so to speak.
Yeah. We can blame Werner Herzog for that by just insisting that the baby not be CGI and they use an actual puppet or animatronic or whatever it is.
I still think that was entirely the right call. I will not. I mean,
it absolutely was, but like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like the most un Werner Herzog thing to do. to create this like pop culture monstrosity that feels like the antithesis of who he is.
And I agree.
Here we are.
But I also 100% am on the side that, like, I think he was trying to do what, like, made Star Wars great.
I think
like,
so, too.
I don't think he was trying to create a pop culture, like, societal touch point.
Right.
I really think he was like, no, what, like, do you remember what made A New Hope good?
Yeah.
Shut up.
I think I kind of feel the same way about it, like, about at least the first season or two seasons of that show as I do about, like, how I felt at the end of Night of the Seven Kingdoms. I was like, oh, okay, like, this is fun again.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's like, okay, we reclaimed something here. Like, there's something, you know, enjoyable, like, that I don't have to, like, feel, like, stressed out about, like, turning it on or going to the movie or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I felt, sorry, I'm organizing my toolbox, so if you hear metal jangling around in the background.
Totally understand.
Yeah, but I, you know, I don't know if I'm going to go see that movie. I presume, because Max won't be with me when it opens, that someone will take him to see it before I get to go take him to see it. And
yeah.
If it were, like, something that I, like, really cared about, I'd be a little annoyed about that. But, like, I don't know.
And I'm a little scared, too, because it comes out the day I leave for UK. Mm. So if I don't go see it on Thursday, I'm not going to go see it. Because I have stuff to do in the UK. And, like, there's a chance I see it when I get back.
Movie theaters there, too.
We have a very full schedule. Not entirely my doing, but we have a very full schedule. You know, I'm a little worried too that I won't get to see it. It's not that I don't even want to. Like, I've said it once and I'll say it again. I love all of Star Wars. There are some Star Wars I love more than the others, but I will watch all of it.
Yeah.
And okay, but that's the doom and gloom.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel's great. So, like, it's very weird to have such fear about the full, like, Filoni taking over and now, like, Mandalorian and Grogu being his big thing, especially because it has this looming specter of my favorite villain in all of Star Wars coming soon.
Yeah.
And
well, we also have the season 2 of Ahsoka to deal with that too. So
yeah.
I'm not as worried about that. I really liked Ahsoka. You know, it had its flaws certainly, but, like, I thought it was very good in terms of their live action shows. And again, like, I wasn't a huge Andor person. It just didn't, like, interest me. Yeah. I need lightsabers and force chokes and stuff.
But, I'm not. I understand.
But, like, I don't know. I'm not so worried about that, like, dynamic. But I think, and I don't know if it's, like, incorrect to think of, like, Mandalorian as perhaps more Jon Favreau than Filoni.
That's fair. That is totally
And I know
fair.
They have, like, a partnership on it and everything. But to me, it just... When I think of Filoni, I think of Clone Wars, and I think of Rebels, and I think of, now, I guess, Maul, which tracks. Like,
yeah. He is now in charge of Star Wars canon, which is reassuring.
Yeah. I remember being really bitter when Pablo Hidalgo came on, and he, like, started, like shitting on everything. I was like, you kind of sucked, dude. Like,
he was
what can terrible. I say?
You know, I don't know what Kathleen Kennedy saw in him.
I don't know what Kathleen Kennedy saw in Kathleen Kennedy. Oof. I mean, good job at, like, creating a successful career, I guess. But
hey, listen, she made an entire career about being Steven Spielberg's personal assistant and saving them from Hawaii. And that's how she got her movie career. That was her first producer credit because she got them out of Hawaii during a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Well, I'm one glass of champagne short of letting the mouse come out on that one. So I'm just going to. Okay.
Yep. Let's move on. Let's
kick it around.
Let's focus on the very
She just held up
here.
The bottle to see how much was left in it. I love you.
Shit. You never hold up a bottle for me. Oh, she's not even listening. She's playing Resident Evil, which is also another reason I love her. Okay. Positive things. Maul was freaking great.
I have no negative things about that. I literally no notes, no critique.
Yeah,
I've got thoughts, I've got interests, I've got, you know, excitement, but I have no notes.
Do we masterful. Are we getting a season 2 or something new?
Oh, yeah,
or something
already,
else
that's already announced, I think. They're
oh,
already
sick. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
all right, because we can't really do more Clone Wars. I understand that, but I want the animated series, like I want them to continue doing animated stuff.
That's what I want them to, like what I wanted. Like, and I know they started fleshing it out more in live action because of the Mandalorian and Boba Fett stuff, but like younger peak Luke Skywalker, like,
yeah,
that should be an animated series.
100%. It's so easy
to do that as an animated series. You don't have to worry about Mark Hamill turning 75 or however old he is. Like,
yeah, exactly. You
don't need to de-age him. He's animated. It's fine.
It worked for Anakin. It worked for Obi-Wan. It was great.
Yeah, it was great.
And I'm right there with you. And this show just reminded me, like I said it in the first episode when we watched the premiere, I had fun. It felt like I was watching Star Wars again.
Mm-hmm.
As crazy as that sounds, like it was like it's what everything I love about Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like the music.
It's Kevin Kiner, by the way, because I know we touched on it before. Is that who's doing the music for?
Yes. Wolf? Yes,
wonderful. He, between he and Giancino, like they're in good shape, like score wise. I think for the franchise, and you know, from taking over from John Williams, they're brilliant. Like I love their work.
Yeah, I'm just double checking. Yep, Kevin Kiner.
Yeah, yeah. That was like one of the things about Ahsoka that really pulled me into. I thought the music in Ahsoka was super well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, how about those last two episodes of Maul?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You said you had theories, you had thoughts, you had excitement. Mm-hmm. What are you giving to me? What? Give me your cliff notes.
Well, I think we're in one way. We're kind of a little hedged in by, obviously, we know how Maul ends up. We yes. also know that there's some kind of at least tangential route with what happens in Solo, which I was like, I remember when that came out and people were like, what is that? He's dead. I'm like, no, he's not. You know,
yeah, like
he's not dead. But I'm interested to see how that fleshes out. I'm also like, there's a lot to be said about what Palpatine is allowing to happen and what he's encouraging to happen and what he's actively trying to stop. And I don't know where that is right now. And that could be really fun.
Yeah. So yeah. 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 I'm just thinking back, like also it's really good to see them like flesh out the Inquisitors so much more.
Mm-hmm.
It was first and 11th, right? I'm not.
Marok was first and Crow was 11th or 12th, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Both who were absolutely smoked by Ahsoka later. Which is interesting, too, when you think about it, given who trained her.
Yeah.
And how difficult of a time Maul had against the person who trained her.
It's very funny, yes.
Yeah.
But, like, okay, so like, I guess we'll start with episode 9. Like, how did these last two episodes, they just, like, and I get that they're supporting, and, you know, I wasn't too hopeful for, but, like, they killed off everybody. Like, the entire right. supporting cast, like, all of the mercenaries are just dead now.
Well, but, like, not totally. I mean, you still got Maul, and you still got a new apprentice.
Yeah.
Then you got was it Riley? Is the son of Riley's Lawson's son?
Mm-hmm.
He's stuck with.
I thought that both the Lawsons died.
No, Riley. He lived.
Okay. Devin died. Vario died.
Mm-hmm.
Spybot died.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe it wasn't as many as I
Pedro
thought.
Pedro Serrano died.
Oh yeah. Okay. So like we could talk about that, or do you just want to talk about Vader?
Oh gosh. you say what you need to say and I'll jump in, because I feel like I'm kind of consumed.
Okay. But I think it's like I mean, it's a surprise moment. The thing that I don't like is I feel like the Vader trope is overused now. Now, that doesn't take away any enjoyment from this show. I adored it. But, like, it just kind of feels like the same beats. And I know you don't play video games, but if you remember they had the Jedi I forget the name of the movie, with the redhead kid who, like, it was from Modern Family, became a Jedi, and it was an incredible game.
Oh, and, Fallen Order?
Yeah, Fallen Order. Yeah. And it ends with a surprise appearance of Vader.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've never played it, but I've seen that cutscene a bajillion times.
And that cutscene, like, at the time, blew my mind, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy crap, this is perfect. Mm-hmm. And scary and exactly what it needs to be. But I just kind of like, I couldn't help but feel that exact vibe when this happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. And I think that that's a better comparison than, like, I've seen a lot of people talking about Rogue One.
No, that fit because he was there.
Right. But I also think that, like, there's something, do you know exactly how long after Revenge of the Sith Maul is set? It's not like right after it, obviously, but it can't be that long.
And roughly 17 to 13 BBY.
Okay.
So that is
Revenge of the Sith was 19.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, right, at least
2 to 5 years, give or take.
Yeah, depending on, you know, which episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like. I kind of in the same way I was talking about how it'd be nice to have like a Luke peak of his powers in youth, like animated series. I like what they're doing with Vader, and I don't think it was overdone in any way. And actually, I think Filoni, I've heard him talking about it and what his decisions were, both in terms of the actual storyline and in terms of like logistically. I was actually really pleased with it, because I know when James Earl Jones died, like, the news came out that he had basically signed over to Disney, like, the rights to, like, use his voice however they saw fit for Vader, like, to use AI and replicate him, do whatever.
And I'm totally fine with that. I'm actually happy. But he
agreed to it, great. That's totally fine.
And I think it's great that he loved that character so much he wanted the character to continue even after his death.
Yeah. And so, like, I think that...
Even though they didn't have him talk this entire thing. Although... Well,
so Filoni said, like, in terms of like production or logistically, like, that was a lot of that was those decisions were made out of just respect for James Earl Jones having passed within the past few years, and like yes, we have the rights to do this, but that doesn't mean we have to. But the story reason for why he did it, I think, is even better, which is he wanted this like younger, like peak power Vader to appear like a fucking like horror film slasher film monster.
That's like, I was exactly gonna say that.
Michael Myers, like, he cannot die, he cannot fall, you cannot hurt him, you cannot touch him, he does not care.
Like, I was literally gonna say it's Jason Voorhees vibes.
Yes,
the entire time. It's just there's no talking, it's an unstoppable force of nature, right? And like Maul only, and it's good to see Maul, like, who kind of gets hyped up a lot in this show, rightfully so. Maul was powerful, but like nothing compared to Vader, and it's very funny to see him humbled in such a way that like he only survives because he's like he's sneaky and like deceptive, right? He like he's a coward and an asshole. Really, that's the only reason he makes it.
Yeah, because he pushes a Jedi into Vader, and it serves his end means anyways. Yeah. I mean, but for that, I saw somebody say that, like, he could have very well just, like, turned his red saber white at that point. Like, I mean, he wasn't too far off from that, like, in a lot of ways. He's clearly an anti-hero at this point.
I never really understood, because Maul was never... I'm trying to think back in like all of, because he really doesn't have much character development, obviously, in Phantom Menace.
No.
But even then, like, he was just, you know, like a bodyguard, you know, in a species we had kind of only heard of, you know, like at the edge. So he kind of looked scary. But he's never been pure evil, even at his worst.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he doesn't, I mean, he has. just as effed up an upbringing as Anakin did.
I think he had a worse upbringing than Anakin. He was constantly tortured and made to feel less than.
Yeah.
Anakin at least had like a loving parent and, you know, a life and hobbies and passions, and ended up going to the Order, whether or not that was the right decision. It's very clear that he like had a much better childhood than Maul. He was just abused from the get-go.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so Devin seeing her master fall.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most important moment of the season, right?
Yeah, and that like her voice getting deeper.
Yeah,
and like the rage. It was really well done. Shout out to whoever that voice actor was. They knocked it out of the park.
Agreed. And I think, you know, because it's such an important moment, like. Cause like, does Maul just want to have power over something? Is that like his? Because I've been wondering about this for a long time. What is his desire?
I think he truly wants revenge on Palpatine. I think he truly wants to kill Palpatine and bring him down.
I agree.
Because he feels abandoned and betrayed.
Yeah, he was just a pawn in a game,
and so he's literally just monkey vining himself to like whoever he can find who's powerful enough to maybe cause a problem. And it's like systematically, it seems like Palpatine just sends people to shut that down almost to like torture him even more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think like the last time they fought was right in the when Palpatine straight up fought Maul. It was when he took over Mandalore, right?
Mm-hmm. And he just completely blew right by him, kills his brother in front of him, and then proceeds to just like, you know.
Yeah.
Neutralize him without like even like lifting more than a finger. Yeah, I do really like how Maul was like almost confused by what Vader even was. He's like, you're not an Inquisitor, you're something very different.
Yep.
And Vader doesn't even care to like engage with him. Like if this were like original trilogy Vader, he would be drawing back at him. If this were Anakin, he'd definitely be drawing back at him. But this is like a person who's clearly just at this point has nothing.
And just he's lost in darkness. Like this is literally his lowest point, you know.
Right.
I mean, I say height of power, lowest point as a like as a person.
But yeah.
I'm very intrigued. I think we'll probably hear words from him in the next episode, you know, in season two. Because even seeing those glimpses of him in Obi-Wan, which I know everyone hates on, but I actually really liked Obi-Wan.
I really liked it too.
So, you know, it was everything I hoped it would be.
Mm-hmm.
They had to retcon some silly things that I didn't think were necessary, but I enjoyed it nonetheless. And I really like enjoyed a lot of like, especially the, and seeing Vader just at the height of his, like, just like throwing temper tantrums, was like insane. Like I loved it. Him just walking through the Inquisition base, just tearing shit off the walls. Mm-hmm.
Dragging Obi-Wan through the fire.
Yeah, setting a town on fire, like crazy. I love it.
Just slaughtering like random people that he can just like reach, like
yeah, incredible.
But it's interesting to see like compare that to like how just scarily under control he was in Maul. Like it wasn't even like he didn't care to like do anything extra. He was just a machine.
Yeah. Obi-Wan takes place much... Where
Obi-Wan is 10 years after Revenge of the Sith. So okay, it's like right in between the two trilogies.
Okay. So this is him with composure. So like we were seeing him in Obi-Wan at the end of his composure-ness.
Well, it's the characters that bring any sliver of Anakin out.
That's
that causes
fair.
Him to struggle. I think if he never encountered Obi-Wan again, if he never found out about Luke, if he never found out about any of that, I think he would have just stayed the monster the entire time.
Yeah.
I think it's literally bringing out, like, these other people.
Do you think he ever knew about Leia? It seems crazy to me that there's no way he could figure that one out. Being at where he is in his, like, in the scheme of power, where, you know, the Organa family is in the Empire. Like, there's no way he didn't know at this point, right? Or is that just me being...
Yeah. Hiding her in plain sight. I don't know.
I guess. You're not
it's
wrong.
Not like, it's not like he has enough of a sense of smell anymore to... Yeah. You smell like Padme. It's weird. Why? It's like, no, I don't even have a nose anymore, bro. What do you want?
fair. But yeah, what are your expectations for season two?
I think we need to get Palpatine.
Yeah?
I think the fact that Vader, I wouldn't necessarily say that he failed. I mean, he killed a Jedi Master. He damaged Maul. He killed a whole bunch of other people. They killed a whole bunch of other people. I wouldn't call this an outright failure, although I feel like he's going to suffer for not finishing the job.
I mean, yeah, he's gonna do his, what's the thing in, like, he's going to get his 40 lashes, so to speak.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
But I think that, like, we need it. They didn't ever, like, refer to him as Vader, right? I know they said him, or, like, he's waiting for them, or something like that. Or he's ready, or something. They never referred to him by name, and I think that was really interesting, too, because I think there's perhaps... The Rebels did this kind of well when they introduced Vader and that, and they're like, what is this? Like, geez.
Yeah.
Just immensely powerful. Somebody else I saw pointed out that he was masking himself with the dark side, which is why Maul didn't even sense him coming.
Yeah, and do you think, like, Maul doesn't actually, I guess he figured out who it was, but he doesn't actually see him, right?
I don't know that Maul knows who it is.
Yeah, I was kind of trying to figure that out. Obviously we do, but I don't think Maul does.
No, I think obviously Maul knew the plans for Anakin, but I mean, presumptively Anakin's dead. Like, all the other Jedi got killed, and most of the other Jedi got killed.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. I don't know if he thinks that maybe Vader was just something created in a lab by Palpatine. Like, well, kind of was, I guess, but...
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I don't know what it's very interesting. I think they'll probably definitely saving it for the next season, obviously. I think next season we'll meet Palpatine and he'll know it's Vader, who Vader is. And more importantly, though, let's point to the fact that we got a New Hope Vader versus, like, you know, Anakin, who just, like, would do, like acrobatics, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got slow lumbering, like, tank.
Yeah.
Vader, which is always what made him scary.
Well, also, like, clearly that he's just toying with his food.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
the same thing that makes him menacing in the end of Empire Strikes Back, which is he's messing around up until the moment that Luke gets that one shoulder blow on him. And then he's like, okay, game over.
Yeah.
And I can tell you as a dad, when they land that one lucky hit, you know you need to end it.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair.
No, but it's like...
I don't think he ever would have killed Luke, though.
No, I don't think so either.
But that's another thing.
Whether for his own selfish reasons or for Anakin's own compassion reasons, I don't think he would have, but...
But yeah, but I think, and this, what it captured is that exact kind of feeling, and I will bring it back to the Cal Kestis game, only because, like, yeah, the Fallen Order... Because, like, that ending fight where you have to just run from him because you have no chance of killing him really felt like the ending of the show, where you're running full speed and he doesn't have to move and he's just, like, crushing shit around you and, like you feel terrified even though he's barely walking. You know? Like, he's barely giving chase and you still have this, like, visceral...
Because he's creating new high ground everywhere he goes.
I'm just saying it's very rare in a game that captures that kind of feeling, and it was very cool.
Yeah.
Which is why I make the comparison in the first place. But yeah, I am very excited for season two, and I really, really hope we get more animated stuff. Like you said, Luke in, you know, I will be happy for, I know Ezra's live action now, but bring us like a Rebels 2, you know, and make that a continuation with Thrawn. Like,
damn. I think that was the one big favor that Disney doing the sequel trilogy, setting it as far out as they did from the originals.
Yeah.
You have basically 30 years to fill where you can do a whole lot. And that's like more than the Empire was around for. So
agrees. Well, there's also been rumors swirling that they're gonna like decanonize them.
I don't think Disney would ever do that.
Fair.
I don't know. Think they're still making the Rey New Jedi Order movie too. So
fair. I hope it happens, because I would love to see, like, I like Rey.
Yeah.
I don't like the movies, you know, necessarily she was in, but I love Rey as a character. I like what she could have been.
She's a good actor too. Like, I enjoyed
that. Incredible. I love her as an actor.
I'm bummed that they actively refuse to even consider the Adam Driver thing. Did you see that?
Yeah, I know.
I was like, oh, that sounds like a fun time. Like, why don't you want to do that?
Agree. I don't know. I it's very interesting. I don't know.
Like, well, we concluded that story by making a Palpatine a Skywalker and killing the only other Skywalker, and now it's over.
Yeah. Also, you know, Filoni loves the old stuff, and old stuff is canon. We haven't had confirmation that my favorite, you know, Sith Lord / Jedi will come back. We've hinted at it far too many times for Revan to come back.
But yeah, I mean, Keanu Reeves got like 3 new wrinkles since he got attached to that. And Jesus, the guy looks like he's 25. He's going to look like he's 28 by the time they made that movie.
But good Lord, we have the entire 1,000 years of the Mandalorian Wars and thousands of years of Old Republic. That is like, give us cartoons in that.
Or they could just adapt Darth Plagueis. Like, that's a series. Like, that right there. Do it.
Yeah, I would watch
like Darth a 5-season series.
Yep, 100% I would watch. You could do the entirety of the Old Republic as, you know, different, you know, seasons of a game and or of a show. Mm-hmm. It would be incredible. There's so much lore there that's good. I don't know. Maybe I'm biased towards Revan, but.
So, like, the whole thing, too, with talking about, like, the EU canon, there was a comic from a long time ago. I think it was, like, when they were doing, like, Star Wars on, like, Dark Horse Comics.
Yeah.
Where, and I forget how it got set up, but basically, like, Maul ends up fighting Vader. And, like, Maul asks him, he's like, what do you, like, what do you hate enough to kill me? And Vader, like, Maul's like behind him when he says that, and Vader literally stabs himself with his own lightsaber to stab Maul.
Yeah.
And he's like, myself. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, that's like kind of like that, like, kind of clicked with me, and I'm like, yep,
yeah.
I think you've captured that, so I'm very happy with it.
Anywho, all right, I think we, anything else you want to say, any thoughts, things we're going to see, or do we leave it there and talk more? Because I think what we should do is, now that the pit is over, we need to talk about more of Friends and Neighbors next week when we talk at the pre-show.
I think so too. I want to see how far you get, and if you catch up to us, we got to, I might be launching an initiative to maybe get caught up on season 2 tonight, given that I have to still enter my time entries for my job before I sleep.
I'm gonna do my utmost to get through it before I leave next Friday. So we'll see. But
I mean, it's very easy. Like, it just flows. It's very easy to binge it. But you should probably sleep too, I imagine, especially if you're waking up at 5 a.m. to do retiree stuff.
Yeah, I got to take – my mom refuses to not do anything, and I love her for it, but it's also a pain in the ass. Like, she teaches – because she's retired, right? So she teaches an ESL class. in her retirement, which was a great grand thing, but she refuses to give that up. So I have to drive her to class every time they have a class in the morning, which anyway.
What language does she speak?
I don't know if it's for three different like Asian cultures. So it's Japanese, Chinese. I don't know how much she speaks, but she just teaches the English
part. She speaks enough to.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
To teach this.
That's really cool.
So yeah, it is really awesome. I mean, I know the woman, like she cannot sit still. So it's great that she's getting out and doing stuff. It's just that now I think she took me as like, I'm coming down to help is I will be your chauffeur and drive you everywhere.
That's the kind of help I need. So that's what you're getting.
I will not complain. I'm saying this to you. And if she's listening to me upstairs, I love her and I will absolutely do all of this for her.
Well, given that I'm slightly older than you, if you want to come over here and chauffeur me around Houston for a while, I'm gladly accept that offer. Well, done.
Fair enough. I'll figure that. When my
I'll
mom
even throw in a cat or two if you want one.
Oh, really? Okay, great. You can just box
and
them
maybe
up.
A ornery 10-year-old boy.
I might have a fight on you with that one. I don't know if Allie and I are ready for that kind of commitment yet.
No, you're not. I will say, so like one of the things I obviously like, he has his own things that he likes and I have my own things that I like. We have overlap and stuff, but like when Maul ended, his reaction was like, what am I going to do until season two? And I was like, yep, okay. Good to hear, because I feel that way as well. So, yeah. So you get some things, right?
Fair enough.
Sorry. Sorry. No, listen. Sorry. Sorry to future Max who's listening to this and talking to his therapist about it.
Well, I have to finally pay my bills so I can get all the websites back up and running. During all this happened, my credit card got stolen 2 days before I left. So I had to order a new one and then get it shipped. And I had to like, and so I haven't really worried about anything. And now it's been a month. Like, I didn't realize how long I'd been here. And now I'm getting emails like, hey, you haven't paid your bills, because I had all the automatic payments set up. So that's why we haven't posted an episode. It's because the episodes can't be posted because we don't have a website right now until I pay Amazon. So as you're listening to this, as you already see, you probably have like three episodes all at once just pop up. So enjoy. Yeah, exactly. Anywho, so that's my apology to everyone. So guys, we will be back. It was my own fault for having other important things to worry about.
How's Cyborg AWS Knight and
anyway,
Crystal going? When are we gonna get them back?
I've been trying. Chris, I know for a fact that Knight wants to come back. She just has to get up for work every day at 5
p.m.
So we would have to figure out, like, she's like, if we can do a weekend or we can do an earlier time, which I know sucks for all of us because we all have stuff to do. She could do it. That's true. So yeah, I'll talk to her because we, you know,
no, she's like one of
she's
my like
great. She just has a new job, which requires
the other
her to
person
be there that
is
early.
Like PD, the musician. And I don't know how that happened, but I'm not upset about it. I like him.
That's fair. Really cool. That's a good combination. Knight and PD. Like that's a good, you know, You get the whole, you run the gamut there. You have all your bases covered. Fair enough. All right, Sean, final thoughts. Or not so new girl, do you want to text Sean some final thoughts? Put everyone on the spot. Are you getting a text or did I actually lose you? Nope. Yep. I lost you. Well, let's see if he comes back. I'll give him 1 minute to sign back on. Until then, I'll just talk to myself. This is a lot harder when you don't have someone else to riff off of. That's kind of my thing. So, shit. Well, Sean, Steve had to go to sleep, and then Sean got disconnected. So now I'm just sitting here talking to myself, and I haven't even, we were about to end the show. So it's fine if he doesn't come back, but like the whole reason this works is I have people to play off of. And now I'm sitting here talking to myself. I have you, I guess, but do you have any final thoughts? Or not the TV show or anything. And usually the final thoughts are pretty random.
Well, today I have a deep thought. How old ladies' living rooms come to look so like old grannies? I had the debate. Did it start out that way? They just didn't change it. Or did they get old and they realize, oh my God, I need to buy old lady furniture? I realized that didn't make any sense. So that must have just been the fashion back in the day. So that was my epiphany of the day. I just thought I'd share that with the world.
I'll take that. With that being said, see y'all next week. Have a wonderful night.